Thanks. Thank
you. To the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Here's something that'll arrest the attention of more than a few people. It should arrest the attention of the church. Religion is in trouble in Australia. My guess is lots of us have had that feeling, a growing feeling over some time. But now there's some detailed data which explores a range of what I think are really important issues about how Christian faith connects with the average Australian, or more often, how it doesn't. The Australian Communities Report concludes that Australians are moving away from their religious roots, and yet about a third of Aussies consider themselves Christian. Of those who aren't, more than half are not open at all to changing their religious views. The main blockers to Christian faith: homosexuality and the notion of hell. There's so much in this for us to chew over on Open House. So joining me in the Open House studio is Carl Faes from Olive Tree Media, who commissioned the research, and Mark McCrindle, who carried it out. Carl and Mark, welcome to Open House.
Hi,
great to see you. Mark, can I start with you? We should probably clarify at the top of the program just who was surveyed and how, because that very question was at the heart of a Media Watch program on the company a few weeks ago.
Yeah, sure. And occasionally, you know, research methodology and researchers get a bit of pushback. And so we've certainly spent, you know, the last few years building our research methodologies to be that gold standard in research. So the point, I guess, when we were starting out is that we were using smaller sample sizes than we currently would. So for something like this, generally 1,000, or in this case 1,094 completed, is going to give us that national snapshot. So it is important that if you survey, if you like, a snapshot of the nation, if you've got a representative panel as the snapshot of a nation, what you find in that sample can then be extrapolated Australia-wide. So that was the start of it in this survey, as well as three focus groups. And we have our own research rooms. And so we ran three focus groups, a Generation Y focus group, younger Generation X, and then older Gen X baby boomers, that also informed this. So the survey, if you like, gives us the percentages, the statistics, and then the focus groups allow us to dig deeper in terms of finding some of those insights.
Okay. So let's look in detail at this research. Carl, to you first. Why did you commission it in the first place?
I've had a growing concern that these sorts of figures are what we're dealing with. I do that from a local church perspective. And as a local church pastor, I recognise, and as somebody that does some work more broadly across Australia, the challenge it is for us to communicate the gospel or the message of the church into our wider community. And so I've done a number of different series under the Olive Tree Media. I've done the men's series and we did a family series this year. But one of the things that's been on my heart is to actually do something from an apologetic point of view. And what we
which
want,
means?
Which is basically giving an apology for a reason for faith. And one of the things that we wanted to do was to say, well, what are the key questions that stand, or issues that stand, between your average Australian and belief, or the possibility of belief, or the possibility of even considering belief? And so therefore what we want to do was, we could guess it, but the question was, well, what are they actually? And one of the we're working with Mark and McCrindle research, and one of the things that Mark said right up front was, there's a lot of commentary on this but very little research.
That's the thing. Up until now, we've been flying blind, Mark.
Mm, yeah, that's right. I mean, even if you take the Australian Bureau of Statistics census, which is the most full assessment of who we are as Australians, and we all, in August this year, filled in those census forms, there's one question about religion, and all it lets you put down is a mainstream religion. So you look at the results, the last time's results tell us that 64% of Australians identify with Christianity, Catholic or Protestant, but tick the Christianity box. Now, there's no way known that 64% of Australians are churchgoers and active Christians. So with this survey, and even that initial question, we actually included not religion, but also spirituality as an option, and suddenly found that not 64%, but just 40% identified with Christianity, about 22% with Catholic Orthodox, and about 18% with Protestant Evangelical. So when you allow the spirituality options, a lot more Aussies fall into that category and move themselves out of mainstream religion.
Yes. Carl, did it surprise you that religion has a problem in Australia?
No, I think anybody that works in a faith-based organisation recognises the challenges that we face. Anybody that reads the media and reads letters to the editor recognises there's a lot of angst in the community. And anybody that watches any media in general, you just see how, or watch a show like Q&A.
Talk to my mates.
You know, that's right. Yeah. And so you just know. Now, Unfortunately, media is probably a bad representative group of Australians, but it does say that just your average Australian writing a comment on a Sydney Morning Herald article, when it comes to anything that comes up around faith, religion, belief, it's just not that they disagree, they're vehement. That's the space.
So, Mark, take us through the findings on how religion is positioned in the community, in their mind, and why.
Well, there is this strong identification with religion, as we said, you know, in Christianity generally, you know, with 40%, you know, 2 in 5 Australians there ticking that box. But then we asked another question. Okay, that's the religion with which you identify, but how active are you in your practicing your religion? And suddenly 24% of those who previously ticked the box said, well, I'm not at all active in practicing. And we found that actually only 13% of those who say they are religious or identify with a religion are extremely involved in practicing that religion. So the point is that I think Australians, we have an affinity, we have an identity with religion, but when it comes to actually getting involved, it's far, far smaller proportion.
As you said, your research has covered three specific generations, Gens Y and X and baby boomers. They often respond very differently on what they think of religion.
That's right. And you can just map the generations by age and we see the involvement fall. So the baby boomers, those in their 60s and 50s were the most likely to, of the three main generations we surveyed, most likely to identify, call themselves Christian, 2 in 5. By the time we're down to Generation Y, those pretty much in their 20s, we're down to 1 in 8 identifying and active in their religion. So, yeah, they're less involved.
It's quite a challenge, Carl.
Yeah, it is. And I actually was asked about this today from somebody else. And the comment I made was, Gen Y especially have grown up with two things. One, that there's a lot of media around them. In their own way, they're quite informed, even if it's just through social media.
Yes.
But they are the generation that's grown up for the last 10 years with massive church scandals, massive abuse scandals, and seemingly hypocrisy. And as a group of people that are very into justice issues, and they're very into kind of authenticity of whoever, it seems
for good
like,
reason.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No one's complaining about that. But they've been exposed more in the formative years to the church being seen as being less than what it claims to be.
You say that people are more and more investing themselves in personal philosophies. What do you mean by that? That's what's replacing religion.
Well, that's right. We even in the focus groups particularly got some definitions of spirituality and religion, and it didn't come out very solidly or positively. Religion was to do, in most people's minds, with duties, with obligations, and with rules. Spirituality had a better perception. It was being at peace with oneself and connected. Now, connected to who or what is an open question, but people were more likely to tick that spirituality box and feel good that they, you know, had something more in life, but it wasn't to do with God or any set belief system. It was just being spiritual or connected.
Carl?
And we shouldn't be surprised by that, Lee, because in a I kind of environment,
yeah,
in a consumer environment, DIY everything is what we're into. And we're also into DIY belief, do-it-yourself belief. So in other words, there is a sense of I like a bit of this and I like a bit of that, and I can package it up for the thing that suits me and my lifestyle and my home and my family. So the idea that somebody would come in external to you and say, well, actually, no, here's the framework of belief for you, That's pretty much rejected as rules being bound.
Which is an enormous challenge for anybody out there in the marketplace,
yes,
saying, what about this, which we'll get to later. How about those who are quite committed to practicing religion or worshipping? Has that changed much? What are the levels there?
Well, the extremely involved were 13% of religious people, so that's some good numbers. By the time you looked at those who were Protestant or evangelical, who identified with Christianity there, it went up to 23% are active. So you know, those mainstream Christians are more likely to be practicing. But I think the good news in all of this is that while 51% of Australians say, I'm not at all open to changing my religious worldviews or my non-religious worldviews, I guess that means that 49% are happy to have the conversation to some extent. I mean, we found that only 3% are extremely open to discussion on religious views, but to some extent or other, there is some openness there in the Australian community to engage in some level of religious discussion or interaction.
What's the split of the generations there? Baby boomers more or less? Generation Y more or less?
Well, it gets quite different in terms of categories there. So the Generation Y younger people weren't as likely to follow a particular religion or be interested in continuing in a particular religious view. We found, for example, that 11% of the Australian population were what we called synthesizers, exactly as Carl was saying, the DIY types, a bit of this and a bit of that and maybe a bit of that, not particularly fitting any mainstream religion. And they had a higher proportion in the Gen Y than the baby boomers, the make it up as you go along. But we did find that that while 33% connected with the sentence, "I consider myself a Christian," this is of the total population, two-thirds obviously weren't calling themselves Christians, but we found that 25%, so one in four Aussies, could be considered warm towards Christianity. If you think of a scale where, you know, it's -1 to -7 in terms of your opposition to Christian things, we found that 25% were -1, -2, or -3 on the list. So this is from an Engels scale of where people are at in regard to the Christian view. They might believe elements of it, but they're not Christians themselves. So you've got a quarter of the population that are, you know, not Christians by any means. Wouldn't call themselves that, but, you know, certainly aren't anti-Christian things.
Carl, were you surprised that 33% are calling themselves Christian?
Yeah, yes, and it's a bit like the census that Mark mentioned before. You know, it comes around and says, oh, here we have 64% of Australians, 63% of Australians say they're Christians. And I think most of us in church leadership or church world scratch our heads and say, really?
Yes. If only.
Must have been busy for the last 10 years. But what this research is showing is that it's much more nuanced than that.
Yes.
And it is interesting that there's quite a reasonable amount of belief, you know, on those that are open and those who actually kind of see themselves as Christian or religious. It's not like that we're written off completely. And that's the good news. In fact, while there's some discouraging news, I think everybody's been discouraged in the last number of years, but there's actually a fair bit of good news. There is some openings, there is some opportunities, and it's finding the ways to speak into those opportunities. That's the challenge for us.
It's a really helpful thing to see some data, as I said before, injected into this, because we're no longer left to speculate. So how many think they are, or what are perhaps some of the open doors to Christian thought?
Yeah, well, and that's one of the things we want to go and talk about is, so if you are open, what are you open to?
Yeah.
Now, if I can just leap into that quickly, one of the things that we often use as Christian leaders is the celebrity. You know, we haul in the celebrity because we think, oh, that's going to be fantastic. They're going to love that. Here's X
no,
or Y.
No, they don't.
And the outcome is the thing that they're kind of least responsive to is the kind of celebrity endorsement. Isn't that right, Mark?
That's right. Hearing from public figures and celebrities as they discuss their religious views, it just did not connect. In fact, it strongly repelled more people than it attracted. Yeah. It might go okay in the US. Certainly, it takes place more in the US. But as Australians, we just want people to be real and down to earth. Mm. We're more influenced by people that we know and can touch, and we see their lifestyle.
We know their fair dinkum.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Why do you think that is, Carl? Because that was one of the things that surprised me. The personality celebrity thing is so repellent.
Oh, look, I think part of it is I don't know that Australians trust celebrities. The Kardashians have just arrived in town.
Yes, I've noticed that.
Say no more, Lee. Yes. You know, you kind of, you know, that. And I think unfortunately, lots of wonderful, authentic and fabulous celebrities are tarred with that brush.
Yeah.
And so I think the average Australian who is into a bit of cutting down the tall poppy as well kind of goes, well, yeah, that's nice, but I don't really believe them.
Yeah.
Can you really believe anything they say anyway?
It's and a good question.
I think we, for those of us within the church who sometimes feel a little marginalized from life in general, if we get somebody that we perceive as a big name basically pushing our brand, we get excited because that makes us feel great.
Yeah.
What we've got to recognize is that's okay still, and it's okay for us to still do that, but doesn't actually cut through so much.
It's about time we knew it.
Yes. And we can't often relate to the celebrity. That's the thing. In fact, if you look at what's at the other end of the result, which is, well, what does most attract? If celebrities least attract, what most attracts? The experience of a personal trauma or significant change in life. In other words, when we go through some tough times or when something massive changes in life, that's when we start to search around deeper meaning and what else there is. And second to that, we're seeing firsthand people who live out a genuine faith. Yeah. So the personal experience and those that are around us has far, far more of an impact than perhaps, you know, the skepticism around a celebrity.
Which we're going to explore in a minute. For now, of those who are committed to the faith, you've found a strong influence of parents and family. in shaping those beliefs?
Well, the parents and family was the strongest impact on what has shaped our religious worldview. 67% of people said that was primary. The second to that, interestingly, was the media, both the mass media, but also social media, the internet. It really does permeate all areas of our life now. And so after family and friends, you know, you've got your personal experience that we're being absorbed in the media around us.
Okay. On Open House, we're with Carl Faze from Olive Tree Media and Mark McCrindle on the Australian Communities Report, an important snapshot about what Australians really think about religion. Guys, as I said at the top, the biggest blockers to Christian faith are the church's stand on homosexuality and the notion of God banishing people to hell. Carl, did they surprise you?
No, not really. In fact, it's kind of one of those things where we spend most of our time defending the faith or helping people understand the faith by dealing with issues like suffering and believability of the Bible and how do you know that Jesus was around, etc., etc. And that's where we spend most of our time. And I think rightly so. But it is interesting to look at this and go, well, that is a question for a lot of people, but it's a little further down the list. Mm. And before you get to those questions, let's deal with these ones. And so that is a key issue. And especially, I think it might be, Mark can comment on this more than me, but I wonder if the current environment of Australia, with a huge push for same-sex marriage, and one of the sole voices that would stand in opposition to that is seen as a Christian fundamentalist, you know, if I can say that, view, which means that I think that raises it in people's consciousness more than perhaps if we were 5 years either way from this moment in time. That doesn't mean I'm reducing it as an issue. I just wonder where the current environment actually kind of bumps it up a bit.
Mark, when we talk about blockers to the Christian faith, there are some interesting and differing results between those who are both open to questions of faith and those who are close to it.
Yes. Yeah, it does get a bit complex. The definition of a belief blocker is something that, you know, when someone is maybe considering exploring a religion like Christianity and they hear that what the church teaches that or the church believes that, forget about it. I'm not even going to investigate Christianity if that's what they are into. That is a belief blocker. It has this 100% lockout effect. And we found them in two key categories. There's the category of doctrine and practice of the church, and therefore it's issues, just issues of faith, issues of the church, like the Bible or the supernatural elements of the Bible or hell or the teaching on homosexuality. So they're the doctrinal aspects. But we also found a whole set of issues, belief blockers around Christianity and the church, things like religious wars through history or church abuse or hypocrisy or even its outdated style. And so it was interesting to come up with the top 10 list of what are the blocks. We did find that while, you know, we found, for example, homosexuality is quite a block amongst Australians, if we looked at those who were open to changing their religious worldviews, it dropped from number one on the list to number three on the list. It dropped from a 50% total block to a 20% total block. And so I think it's important looking at perhaps who Australians are, who are, you know, being part of the conversation, at least open to having the discussion, because you know, they have a different view to those who are more that cool, you know, an anti Christian worldview.
Yes, again, hardly surprising, especially in Australia, where we like to tear tall poppies down, and we need to be fair dinkum. Hypocrisy by the church and the church is a huge turnoff, Carl.
Yes, it is, and that continues to be the case. And it's difficult, isn't it, Lee? Because, you know, there isn't anybody that's not a hypocrite. There's just level. Really, the world is levels of hypocrisy. Yeah. And one of the problems for the church is that because we hold such high standards, we believe morally and ethically, if we miss them, that becomes a huge issue.
And because in the past, at least, and often today, we are often seen as judgmental.
Yes.
Because often we are.
Yes, absolutely. Because and that can be a self-justifying attitude. Look, how much better am I than you? And so therefore I feel kind of better as a person. But I think the other thing too is that because hypocrisy is such a big issue and because media is so pervasive, if somebody fails who's a key church leader, everybody's going to hear about it. Yeah. Just as they would if they were a politician, etc. But it has a deeper heart issue for the church, because the heart issue of the church, if a Labor Party politician of a high rank in New South Wales were to fail, we haven't really had any of those, but just in case we did, you know, it doesn't mean everybody suddenly walks away from the Labor Party. They're disappointing that person, but they're not. It's not like the Labor Party's not held to account for it. Where in some ways, that's not true of the church, because what they've failed in, they're supposed to represent.
Expectations and are absolutely. Often deservedly higher.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And a lot of these are legacy issues that we, all of us involved in church, carry with us. We may not have contributed to them, but they are legacy issues that people hold. The number one issue being church abuse. That was the number one belief blocker. Also in the top 10, we had religious wars. And we might be talking hundreds of years ago, but it still has a big impact in the mindset of Australians, and issues around money. And I'm sure a lot of the churches that people attend are straight up and down with money, but there's been enough scandals in the history of the church in different parts of the world that still is a bit of a block and a cause of skepticism for your average Aussie.
To which I say, get your act together. If you look at what attracts people to faith, and again, this doesn't surprise me at all, especially in Australia, it's seeing Christian people living out an authentic faith. Fair dinkum.
Yeah, and obviously that would be fantastic. An authentic faith is just about how you live, what you think's important, how you treat other people around you. You know that Pultman has just done that major piece of research in America out of Harvard University, which actually demonstrates that people who are religious are more likely to be nice, they're more likely to help their neighbour, they're more likely to give money. And it's not some two-bit of research, it's a really significant piece. So that in some ways, what are those people doing? They're just living out authentic faith. Now, everybody can find somebody that they believe doesn't live it out. Lee, if we go back to the Jesus All About Life campaign, there's a lot of research done in Australia and the UK around this sort of issue, around that specific campaign. In the UK, they did some research, and they said, so what do you think of the church? Oh, they're all hypocrites, but then they said, do you know any Christians? And they said, yeah, I know Mary and Bill around the corner. What are they like? They're fantastic. And what was interesting in the UK research was that some of the views on hypocrisy was out there. It was all of them. Mm. But if they knew a local church and they knew a Christian, they tended to be positive role models in their life.
So how should both the church and individual Christian people reflect on that?
I think the one thing that the individual Christian should reflect on, especially in the marketplace, which is where you spend 90% of your life in the workplace, you know, it's almost like, here's a rhetorical question. Do your friends know that you're a Christian, and do your friends know in the marketplace, not just friends in the community, in the marketplace, do they know you go to church? And if they don't, why not? I don't mean walk around with a T-shirt that says I go to church. But when you're chatting on a Monday morning and they say, how'd your weekend go? Why not say, actually, yesterday, and the pastor of my church made a really interesting point when he said X, or we had this person tell their story and it was really good. Don't expect a round of applause or for them to ask follow-up questions.
Or instant conversion.
No, you're not going to get, but what does it say? It says, here I am, I'm putting myself on the line, and I believe. You know, across Australia, tomorrow morning, across Australia, people are going to get in their cars, get in their trains, get in their bikes, go to work. And of the thousands, millions of Christians across Australia, most will be anonymous. Hmm. And this is saying, don't be anonymous. Don't beat them up every time you see them. Don't talk about hell in your
don't
view.
Don't judge.
Yeah, but...
Let your light shine, which is what
naturally.
Jesus said.
Yeah. Yes.
Mark, one other finding in the report is the extent to which people who are perhaps spectators to the Christian faith are prepared to engage in discussion on the reliability and validity of the Bible. I'm extremely nerdy. I've done a lot of work on that myself, and I think, oh, that's a very interesting result.
Lee Hatch is nerdy. You heard it first here.
It's official.
Well, look, the Bible was one of those belief blocker issues. Obviously, when you're talking Christianity, the Bible is pretty fundamental to it. And so it's an issue that people have and want engagement on. A question we asked people is, how often would you talk about religious matters with your friends? And 47% of Australians here said, no, never. We don't discuss religion, which means that 53% do. In fact, 7% regularly discuss it. 46% occasionally discuss religious things. So there is an opportunity for Christians to have those conversations. People aren't anti it, but you're right. I mean, the Bible was one of those areas. When we got into technical or complex issues like, you know, the Bible and Jesus' resurrection, you know, some of the issues in the Bible, supernatural events that, you know, skeptical Aussies might push back on, Australians here were saying they do enjoy websites, TV programs, DVDs, movies that can allow them to explore in, I guess, a less confrontational way. And so the friend discussion is one approach. But just people coming across websites or being exposed to more information, which might, in a non-confrontational way, allow them to explore these issues, is going to be key as well.
Even and including open house. On the question of Jesus, Carl, a lot of people do believe he did exist, but the question is, was he divine son of God?
Well, I think there's really no doubt in any sensible and even mildly read person's mind that Jesus was a person of history. It's also beyond doubt that Jesus, a person of history, has had a remarkable and incredible effect on human history, human thinking, and human interaction. The issue that everybody has to deal with is, but who was he? And that's one of the things that people need to grapple with a bit, is that, you know, the whole idea that if he is just an ordinary guy who had a few good things to say, how could that mean that he makes that much difference in the world at large?
Yes.
And I think that's the space that people have to kind of bring their mind and their intellect and their thought to. You know, the whole idea that several key writers around the world have talked about, which is that if Jesus said, I'm God's son, if Jesus said, I am from God, if Jesus said that I represent the headship of God in me as a person, you're kind of not left with the idea that he was a good teacher, because he either believed he was that, or, you know, if he wasn't, he was mad. And if he recognized he wasn't God but said he was, he was a liar, which is less than integrous in his personality. So that's that whole challenge. I think most people quite like the idea of believing in Jesus and believing he's a good guy and leaving it there, because that means there's no challenge on my life. And the issue,
but you're saying that there is a big distinction there.
Oh, massive distinction. Absolutely, and we can't miss that. But I think one of the issues around all of this, Lee, and I've believed this for many years, is that people tend to think that, okay, my view on Jesus is that I think he's a good guy, but I'm not a person of faith, because I don't. But only people of faith believe that he was God's son. People who aren't of faith don't believe he was God's son. Whereas I'd be saying, no, you're actually making a step of faith. To say that Jesus was an ordinary person, that is a choice of faith. To believe that there is no God, that's a step of faith. To kind of say that you're a Christian, and everybody says, oh, well, you're a person of faith. Well, if you're not a Christian, you're a person of faith too, because every decision in that realm is a step of faith. And I believe that people who believe that it's almost like saying, okay, I'm here on my safe island of a firm foundation, believing there's no God. I don't have the faith to step forward into a life that believes there's a God. The news to you would be, you stand on a foundation of faith.
Yes.
That there is no
it's
God.
True. Yeah.
That's a statement of faith. And when you get that space, you might want to ask, gee, I probably should work out why I believe this.
And if people are more open to engaging with the Bible and see where that is credible or not, there's quite an open door there.
Well, it has
on the question
yes.
of Jesus.
Yes, that's right. And the, one of the problems with the Bible is it's so complex to read, and recognizing the complexity of the Bible, and so reading this bit is history, but that bit is poetry, and trying to recognize the differences is important when you start to read it.
Mark, what's the research show about the best ways and the worst ways to engage people with questions of faith? Because it's an interesting part of this survey.
Well, that's right. And we looked at the sort of media that will engage, and we discussed some of that, that's something that's not too intrusive, that allows you to explore in your own way in your own time, is going to work. We are talking about sensitive and personal issues as people explore religious, particularly when they've had some bad experiences of being Bible bashed or witnessed to in an inconvenient way. We also looked at the tone, and people were looking for something that was serious, because we're talking about serious issues. People didn't just want jokes and fun, but they didn't want anything that was filled with strong opinions and robust debate. You know, they see that in the political realm. It's not what they want as they explore Christian things. And we certainly found in the research that Australians need a little bit more interaction here as far as their understanding of religious and Christian things is concerned. 42% of those surveyed said that Jesus existed but did not have divine powers. Back to that group that Carl was discussing, that tick one of the boxes but leave the rest hanging. So there's a lack of information certainly out there.
Can I ask the concluding question of both of you? When you wrap up such an important bit of research, Where do you take these results now, and how should the Christian community reflect more deeply and widely on these findings? First of all, you, Mark.
Well, I think before we start engaging in conversation, we have to start engaging in listening. And that's what research is about. It's helping us understand the community, helping us understand Australians. This is the Australian Communities Report. We need to understand our community before we start going out there and telling them what we believe. And that's what we found constantly in the focus groups. People saying, well, why doesn't the church listen? And why do we get a feeling of sort of judgmentalism? And why aren't you coming along? And why do we feel that the church wants to put rules and regulations on people? I think that they haven't so much rejected the church. Aussies who tick the Christianity box who don't go, what they've done is rejected their perception of the church. And maybe that's because of some of those legacy issues we discussed. So if we can understand and listen, then we're probably in a better place to share some of our own personal experiences, which, as we found, was one of the strongest ways to engage.
Authentically. Carl, what would you say?
Look, one of the things I'd say up front, as a danger in this and something not to do, which lots of denominations and churches specifically around the world has done, is you don't go out and find out what people like and then change your faith so that it suits them.
Good point.
You know, like there's this whole idea that, oh, well, people in the community don't like the church's view on this thing, or we better change our view. Well, it's not a popularity contest. Belief is not based on that. So I think that's the danger. And the danger also is to kind of say, well, don't talk about that because, you know, that puts people off. I don't think that's the case either. But it does mean we need to learn a new way of communicating and perhaps kind of just be wiser in how we communicate and wiser on who we put up and wiser in the way we approach these. I mean, from our Olive Tree Media's point of view, what we want to do is produce a 10-part television series and DVD series that will be widely available across the net as small pieces of downloads, which says, here are the answers to these. One of the things that we're trying to say is, actually, I used the word answer, I shouldn't have. What we're trying to say is, here's a response to these issues. In some ways, there isn't really an answer. There's not real, you know, the suffering in the world and God's response. There's no answer to that. But here's a way of framing it up that might help you think it through. And so that's what we want to do. But that's just one response to this. And I think it's the whole process of trying to be, without changing what we believe, without stepping away from some of the harder things that we believe, how do we frame up what we want to say, how we interact, and be the people of God to see a generation make a response to Christ in the Australian community.
Very important piece of research, very important discussion. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Thanks, Carl Faze and Mark McCrindle, for joining us on Open House. We'll put the details of Olive Tree Media, Carl, up on our Open House community Facebook page. Thanks again.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.